So, as always, we are live, never recorded.
Never recorded. Never, ever, ever recorded.
And so let me share a little story about our guest today. It's Dennis Sweeney, the owner of Dennis Sweeney Business Consulting. So I found this guy. Cold called him. So I cold called you.
Oh, now this is good.
Yeah, so Dennis Sweeney Business Consulting is basically a growth catalyst for new business development for companies. And he's
what did you just say, cold caller?
He's a phenomenal professional cold caller.
Which is really incredible.
Well, yeah, today's whole...
Isn't cold calling actually more fearful for people than standing up and speaking in front of groups?
Well, let's get to that.
Seeing a nod.
So let me get to how I found Dennis.
Okay.
An article came out in the Kansas City Business Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys at the office at 2 West threw it on my desk and said, hey, this is pretty cool. And I read it, and it was showcasing this guy named Dennis Sweeney from Sweeney Consulting. And... So I read it, and I thought, man, this is totally cool. This guy started off as an encyclopedia salesman. He's a cold calling machine. He knows how to create new revenue, not just cultivate existing clients. And so I picked up the phone, and I cold called you.
Right. That is
true. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Sweeney.
Good to be here. I cold called
the cold caller.
I love it. Did you know he was a cold caller when you cold called him?
I read his article. Did you just pay attention to the show? Where are you at?
No, I didn't. I was doing something else.
And so I cold called him because I was attracted to what he was doing personally. And plus, professional sales guy.
Sure.
So he called me back. We got together, and we built a nice little relationship, and he's helped out some of the guys from our team, and I'm trying to get him referred into other businesses in Kansas City because I believe in what he's doing. So, Mr. Sweeney.
Good to be back. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're always welcome at our campfire because our listenership is going to be more of the sales guys, the upper management, C-level executives that I don't care if you're a CFO or not. You're looking for growth or you're in the wrong business. If you're in any organization, you're looking for new revenue opportunities, right? But they're hard.
Mm-hmm.
They are hard. And so anybody that's listening today, we're going to get it straight from the expert on just how hard sales is or, quite frankly, how easy it can be through Dennis Sweeney Business Consulting.
There you go.
So I always like to rewind a little bit. Dennis, your history on how you got into this gig.
I got fired from a job about 20 years ago, and I was
doing what?
I was selling computers, printers here for a local small company.
Why'd you get fired?
I just didn't get along with the president.
It wasn't because you weren't doing your job. It was a personality issue?
Personality. I can be difficult to work with sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. Then what are you doing on this show? Because you know what? Neither Ryan nor I is difficult to work with at all.
I'm sure.
So we don't even understand what that means.
So you get fired.
Right. I got fired. I think sales can be easy if you are direct with people, straightforward, and you do what you say you're going to do. So if I'm going to be out representing different companies and helping them grow their business, then I expect my clients to keep their word and do what they say they're going to do. So, and if you don't,
then...
That's
a two-way street. Everything's a negotiation, and it requires both.
Yeah, but you have to understand if you're going to be a sales guy, you got to keep your word.
That's
your word's
got
to mean something. And if your word doesn't mean anything, then you become a win-back.
A win-back.
Wow.
So going back to sales, there's all these – everybody's got a system, right? There's the book called The Wedge. You got the whole Sandler thing. You got, your business model. Is it a fair statement that there's no perfect sales system, but as long as you're working a system and you're persistent with it, it will work? Or is that a false statement?
I think – The danger of systems that I've seen is people end up being more concerned about following the system than they are about building a connection with another person. So,
and it's because they're looking for a silver bullet and it's a crutch. Like, well, I worked hard all day long on sales because I manipulated the Salesforce data for 4 hours. But they weren't calling a single soul.
Right. And even when you're calling, when I'm with somebody who's studied a sales system and they're mannerisms and the words they use remind me that they haven't owned the words that they're using just yet. And so they are following a system, but they haven't yet internalized that system to where it becomes more natural. And I think that's a turnoff for companies and prospects they're talking to. So I think systems, I think it's a good approach to follow a system, understand the theory of a system, but ultimately you need to own that. You need to internalize that so when you're in front of somebody, they don't necessarily think that they're talking to you know, somebody who's following a system. It's just like your comment about PowerPoints. You know, people want to have a good conversation. They want you to listen to them. They want to feel like you are understanding what they're saying. And then if they get that feeling, then they'll be a lot more open to telling you what's going on in their business.
So rewind just a little bit, because this topic is awesome. I could do a show once a week on
sales.
Oh, I
know. I love this topic.
No, I do too. But you get fired, and then you roll into what job?
Well, I started my own company at that point. So I just started going door to door, business to business, looking for new business opportunities.
Selling what?
Business consulting.
Business consulting,
yeah.
which is what you do today.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
my business
is metamorphed into more of a sale, business development and sales consulting now. When I started, I just went door to door, and I would ask CEOs and presidents, what's your biggest problem, and maybe I can help solve it.
And it didn't matter what they were going to say. If they said, I need to figure out a new cleaning supply company, you'd go figure that out?
Yeah. I'd say, well, I'd give them a fee, and we would, you know, sometimes it would be based on commission or based on producing the end result, and other times it was just a straight fee. So I did recruiting projects, operation projects, computer projects. And
just kind of like a general contractor.
Getting stuff done.
Absolutely. It's all about communication and being clear about what you want to accomplish.
So when you say you went door to door, what did that mean?
I just went business to business.
You walk in, you're like, hey, can I talk to...
Is the president around?
Somebody here. I tell you what.
Hey, is the president around?
Actually, that is sometimes the very best way, is march right in. I respond well to that kind of call. I'm like, hey, if somebody is bold enough to just walk in here and they show up, I'll give them 5 minutes. Like, you know what? I like that. I need a little entertainment in my day. I'm sick of talking to the same old people.
That is true. I mean, I think if you go business to business, generally one out of every five calls you'll get to talk to somebody that can
make a decision,
sure, or give you some information that's relevant. I mean, you usually talk to a buyer, you might get a VP of ops, you might get the president. Every once in a while, you get the president. Sometimes the president's walking through the lobby at the right time, and mm-hmm. they'll sit down and talk to you. So,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And so, what's the model today? Where are you at? Where's Dennis Business? When you got written up in the Kansas City Business Journal, and I was attracted to that whole model. What specifically do you do today for businesses?
Well, mostly people hire me to help them grow their sales and find new customers. So, you know, I only work with three or four companies at a time, five companies. Right now I'm working with four companies. So a couple of the companies I started working with this year, one was a startup software company that wanted us to help them identify they knew who their market was. They knew their customers. They wanted us to identify the people in the company that we should call. And then we called them and rearranged demonstrations. We did over-the-phone demonstrations. So that's one of the projects we worked on. We're also working with a company that comes in and does ergonomic training here in town. And we were hired to do that, and they did not know their market base. So we did the research on who to call on, and we've called and set up appointments for them. We go on calls with them, and we're involved in closing the business as well.
So at the end of the day, if you're a company and you're looking for new business development, and I'll define new business development as not cultivating existing relationships to go sell more stuff to those. I'm talking about getting into new markets, opening up new doors, growth. I mean, just pure growth.
Right.
A lot of these companies have existing sales teams, don't they?
Yes.
All right. So How do you come in and add value to, I've got an existing sales team and I'm going to be the buyer, I'll just role play with you. I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do for me that my guys aren't already doing?
Well, is your business growing? Is it growing 10, 15% a year, year after year? How many new customers have you brought in last year, over the last few years? So, even though you have salespeople, if you're not growing your business and if they're not bringing in new customers, I would question the effectiveness of your sales force in that area.
He's trying to be so polite right now, too. I mean, you just call it like it is. You basically just said that.
Yeah, but you got the message.
But you basically just said that. I'm questioning whether your sales guys or farmers, because you obviously ain't growing, and they're obviously just sitting behind the desk collecting a check. So let me come in. Show you a couple ways that I can prove to you and grow your business and get you into new markets. And by gosh, I know how to do it because this is what I do for a living.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, within a week or two, literally, we can have appointments for you with some of the most coveted customers or prospects you've had for the last 20 years.
That is a bold statement. Yeah, I'm sorry. Is. Say that again. You just told me and you just told all of Kansas City that within a week or two, I can make appointments with some of the most well-respected, coveted prospects in your marketplace that you obviously can't get in the door to.
Yes.
I love it. That is bold, man.
I think I may have augment that to 3 or 4 weeks, but it's happened before within 1 or 2 weeks that we have set up meetings with companies that our clients have wanted to do business with for years. That is true.
So you come into my company and we sit down and you ask a lot of questions. You listen really well. And I tell you, this is the marketplace that I want to get into, but I'm having trouble getting into it. And my sales guys aren't able to get me into it. But, man, we've been talking about this for 2 years.
Yeah.
All right. And then you take what I just said and basically within 3 to 4 weeks, you say, okay, let's go. I'm going to get you into those markets and I'm going to charge you a fee to do so. And I'm going to help you get those things from cradle to grave. I'm going to set the appointment. I'm going to go on the appointment. I'm going to close the deal. We're going to bring it in, and I want paid for my time.
Yeah. Well, and the deal is sometimes there's a reason why companies aren't bringing in new customers and closing new business. What I promise is I'll get you in front of the prospect. We'll have the conversation, and then you're going to have to respond to the conversation in a way that makes a proposal or makes our business offering attractive to them.
Because they have the knowledge of the product and you don't.
Knowledge of the industry,
yeah,
knowledge of the product.
You can't do everything.
Exactly. I don't know the technical. Right. I don't know the technical aspects of the industry or the market. I'll pick it up fairly quickly. But you have to understand that if you want to play with the big boys, there are things in your company that may need to be addressed in order for us to go play with the big boys.
Got it. Because so do you ever find that a company really just doesn't have that great of a product?
Yeah.
And do you tell them that? Like, hey, you know, I mean, because everyone thinks that the issue is, gosh, we just can't get sales. But I think a lot of companies need to step back and say, what are we really selling in the first place? Because a lot of companies really don't even know what they're selling. They're out there just blowing a lot of smoke, blah, 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 and really nothing.
Hold that thought because we're going to take a break. Dennis Sweeney, owner of Dennis Sweeney Business Consulting, Kansas City's awesome rainmaker is what I call you. So we come back. I want to get into a couple case studies. Then I want to do a little role play with you on an opportunity that I want to get you introduced to in Ascendus and the guys over there at the awesome corporate travel. Live with Rink and Laura. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Live with Rink and Laura on this beautiful Tuesday in Kansas City. For the last 15 minutes and the next 45, we're talking with Dennis Sweeney, owner of Dennis Sweeney Business Consulting, Kansas City's personal rainmaker. And prior to basically your business is to go in and consult with business about getting new growth opportunities, setting new appointments, and taking them into new markets that they currently aren't getting into.
Yeah.
Right. And so the question... you had made an awesome, bold comment that you can walk in, if you're hired, and take a company, do all the research, figure out what markets they're trying to get into, and you can get appointments set that have not been set in years for that company's sales team within the first 3 to 4 weeks.
Yes.
And the question right before break, which I love, was, how do you do that, and why isn't everybody else doing it?
Well, for the most part, many of my clients, their salespeople, have given up on calling on the tough prospects long time before I get there. So I come in with a fresh view, a fresh voice, a fresh approach, and I know that it takes a long time to break into prospects. I know that I'm going to get some no's initially, but because I've incorporated that in my approach, my mentality, my enthusiasm and how I approach the situation. Generally, if I have 10 or 15 of those coveted customers that my client wants, if I call 10 or 15, generally I can get 2 or 3 meetings just because I understand how to close a business meeting and I know how to connect with people.
Yeah, so talk to me about your approach on the phone. You know, somebody just picks up the phone, they're like, this is Mike, and you've got to have some kind of rapport over the phone, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing to do, and I hate it, is, hi, Mike, Dennis Sweeney, how are you today? Well, who cares? I mean, I can't stand when those guys call me like, hey, Brian Rink, Mike from blah, 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 how are you today? Shut up, dude. What do you need? You know? You don't really care how I am. I say good, and then we can move on. I'm assuming you're not doing that.
No. I think one, I enjoy cold calling. So I enjoy getting on the phone.
It's, you're sick. Okay.
Yeah. It's it's become, you know, it's fun. So, and in people's voice, you hear a lot of their personality that immediately comes out. So I can hear
that
in people's voice. Whether they're having a good day or not, whether they're happy to hear from me, whether they're a bit resigned, whether they're cynical. And so I can interact with people in a way to try to loosen them up a little. And I can do that just in how I might say hello to them or, hey, Ryan, what's going on? And the way I pause, I make them interact with me. Mm-hmm. I'll flesh them out a little, get them out of their comfort zone, or I'll make them interact with me. And what I'm trying to do is make a connection with them. If you make a connection with another person, game on. If you don't make that connection, they'll get rid of you, as they should. So, but how you make that connection is a lot in your tone of voice, how you match their tone, how you may pause a little in the conversation.
It's almost like you're trying to smell their personality through the
receiver.
You gotta
let them talk. The worst mistake you can make is to not let someone talk.
Absolutely.
Your goal is to get them talking, ideally in some kind of affirmative way, but maybe not
necessarily. So let me give you a great example. There's one of my favorite companies. It's a 2S client, very close personal friends of mine. They've been on the radio show. It's Ascendus, and it's Kansas City's premier and the region's premier corporate travel agency. It's one of their, if not their main business. And Brent Blake and Gary Davis, awesome partnership. And essentially what they're doing is going in to corporations that their sweet spot is somewhere around doing $500,000 in airfare to $15 million in airfare a year, which is the small to mid-sized companies. They're not going after Sprint and all that stuff.
Okay.
All right. So, but they've got to get into the decision makers to come give their value proposition on, if you're using this, why not use this? And they've got an awesome value proposition. And they just hired a brand new guy, a young kid, an old golf pro named Joe.
Okay.
And I like Joe. He and I are going to connect. I just met him about a month ago. So pretend like I'm Brent, and I want to grow this company. I definitely want to grow this company. Here's a list of the companies that I need Joe to get into. Can you help Joe, and can you help my company get into these markets?
Yes.
All right. So then how are you going to do that?
Well, what I would say to you, first of all, is what is your value proposition? And I would listen to it, and then I'd distill it down to a sentence or two. So I know exactly what it is that we're offering to the market. I know exactly what it is, what value we're bringing. So that's very, very important, because a lot of salespeople don't really understand the value. So when you go into the market, when you start calling on people, you got to know exactly what it is that you're bringing and what value you're bringing. So then when you start to interact with people, you're paying attention to whether they hear what you're saying, whether they're listening, and you have a conversation with them pointing to areas of their business where they might be having that problem. So the first part of this is getting people to loosen up a little, connecting with people, joking, having a little fun. Now, in a cold call, you got to do that in about 7 seconds. But on a sales call, when you got 45 minutes, you can do it over 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. I wouldn't go over 10. And then after you do that, then you talk to people and find out what they're doing, how they're conducting their business in the area of your expertise. Now, if you're an expert in what you're doing, if I can get somebody who is buying what you're selling or needs what you're selling, if I can get them to talk for 20 minutes about how they're doing what it is that you do, then you should be in a position to be able to tell them exactly how you can help them.
Yeah, just let them talk long enough, and then you mentally note the places where you could help, and then when they're done, you say, well, it sounds like blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You got to ask good questions.
Yeah.
You got to flesh them out a little. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So you can set appointments for Ascendus, and then you catch 3 or 4 appointments that are awesome opportunities for growth, new markets, new business. And you set the appointment. You're excited. You get pumped after you get off the phone and you got a date.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, is it a rush?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally cool. I agree. So then you get excited and you go back to Brent and say, hey, got a runner. It was one of yours. It's a $3 million opportunity. It's set for 3 weeks from now on the dates that you gave me. So let's go.
Right.
And you bring in the experts. You have to.
Yes.
You're not going to go close a corporate travel deal and you know nothing about it.
No.
Your job is to read people, set appointments, create opportunities for the experts to come in, and then you help manage that process along the way.
Yeah, I mail the sales process. as we sit there.
I mean, to me, it's almost a no-brainer. Why wouldn't every company just hire you? I mean, because tell me a company that's not excited to go get into new opportunities. I'm serious.
Fear. Thank you. Think of everything you have to overcome.
Well, what are the objections you hear when you get turned down on pitching your stuff to companies?
Well, I don't pitch myself that often because I generally get referred into companies. But I'll tell you, some of the problems I have with some of the companies I work with is their willingness to confront the fact that maybe it's a problem they have to address internally. Because all I'm doing is, even in the sales meeting, if I get somebody to tell you what their problem is, then you have a chance to solve it or not. If you can't solve the problem, if you can't offer them some logical advice, whether it be your product or a service, and if we go on 7 or 8 calls and we don't close any business, the person I'm going to look back to is you, my client.
Right.
That's the conversation that's going to take place is, we have an issue here.
We've held 8 appointments in the last 60 days. We've listened. We've gotten to the issues of all these people, and for some reason, we're 0 for 8.
Yeah. You say, initially, if I got you in front of these 5 companies, you could close one of them. So I'm not looking for 100% close. I'm looking for 20%. I'll take 10% for the first go-through. But if we can't do that, then we got an issue, and it's not about the marketplace. It may be our offering.
Yeah.
It may be our sales approach. Sometimes my clients are not very good salespeople, and they're not very good at communicating their value, and they clam up, and they're not free-flowing. And so,
or they just information dump on people. I mean, that's the worst.
That's another thing. They don't, nor are they
jargonized.
Good listeners. Or are they good listeners?
So another, and so the question I've got is, can it be any product? I mean, do you look at the product and can you walk away from something like, I ain't selling that because it doesn't sell? Do you have to dig in and be like, discover what the product is, what the offer is, so that it's a good match for you, so you have some passion?
Yeah. Usually it's business to business, but I'm pretty open-minded because one of the good things about salespeople, really good salespeople, one of the good things about good CEOs is that they're open-minded and they don't think they understand the world. They need to go discover it. They need to learn about the world every day. I just had a client that stopped working with us because the entrepreneur thought that she understood the world. And I'm like, I don't think you understand the world. She goes, well, everybody does. Everybody's doing what I'm doing. And I said, well, I don't think that's true. And I think if you go in that, projecting that onto every person we talk to, it's going to be a disaster. And anyway, we're not working with them anymore.
So here's a transparent mistake that we've at 2S corrected here probably in the last 30 days, and it was frustrating because it came from a loss. We had an at-bat, we had an opportunity, and we didn't win. We got second place, and second place stinks because it doesn't pay anything, right?
Right.
It doesn't keep the lights on and add growth and all that. So the conversation internally and where we were just beating our head up is we were coming in and saying, 401ks are complicated, right? They've got 5 different components, and we were doing this whole, overall encompassing, all-inclusive, we handle all 5 of these areas. And at the end of the day, that wasn't what they wanted. Mm-hmm. So it was this whole, what they wanted was that. And I didn't just listen and go back to the house. So what I should have done is listen to what they wanted and come and present a solution to their problem and forget the other 4 things.
But you know what?
I'm asking for some affirmation.
No, I agree with
here.
You.
The guy said, I want this, this, and this,
Who
and I don't care about those.
Who has questions for my answer? You have to correct. But you know what's interesting, though? I think part of what you're experiencing, and certainly what we have, is when you're starting a company, your product line really isn't all that well developed. So you're going to be, obviously, as you know from me, I'm like, I change it every time. Now we know a little bit more what we're doing. But I think that's hard because in some ways you're selling something, but you're also building the product as you sell it because you're trying to figure out what they need and you're trying
right,
to build
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I think it's easier 5 years down the road. You're like, here's what we do. We've got software tools that improve employee culture. That's what we do. We do it through philanthropy. So tell me about your employee culture. And now that our company's kind of arrived at that point, it's become a lot easier. But I think it's hard to go fishing when you don't know what you're selling.
But you also know what you're looking for when you talk to the client as well, right?
True.
You know the problems that you're looking for. You know the problems that you can solve, so
yes.
You can be more definitive in those conversations.
Correct. But I think it takes a while to learn that. That's what I think is probably hardest about starting a business is you don't, there's just no way you can know enough. You've got to practice. You and I, Ryan, you've known, I've talked about this before, but there's so much, especially in Kansas City, buzz around entrepreneurship and giving all these support services to entrepreneurs and teaching them. Like, no, they just, the answer is sales. The answer is always sales. If you can't bring in revenue, you don't have anything, and you don't have a chance to practice.
Yep. I agree. Hold that thought. You're live with Rink and Laura on 1660. We're talking with Dennis Sweeney of Dennis Sweeney Business Consulting, the sales answer guy rainmaker, when we get back, another half an hour of awesomeness. Dennis Sweeney, that's what I'm saying. Dennis Sweeney, Sweeney Business Consulting, live with Rink and Laura. I want to share a story. It's a story that I think is a prudent story. On it's not every way for me to sell, Dennis, but it's a way that I do sell.
Right.
It's serving other people first before I have an opportunity to ask them if we can talk about my business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about Ascendus and Brent Blake and Gary Davis over there, and I cold called. I do cold calls still, but it's warm calls because they're referrals.
Yeah.
You know, so I name drop. That's how I met Laura. Cold called her.
I cold called you. I just needed to be entertained on that day.
But they're funny, weird ways for me to cold call. It's my personality. And, you know, they're fairly successful, but you got to keep hitting it. So Brent Blake, I got a referral to Brent, chasing his K-plan. I called this guy 7 to 8 times. And at times, I'd just call and be like, hey, dude, I feel like I'm the weird eighth grade girlfriend that's psychodialing you, and I'm sorry, but this is kind of getting uncomfortable for me, so would you call me back? And still, crickets. So here's what I did. I was at a prospect. Weber, who's been on the show, and Ascendus, who's been on the show.
Slicer.
They were both prospects at the time. They are currently 2West clients, and this is how I did it. At Weber. I got a referral into Weber. I'm talking to the CFO. The meeting's kind of going somewhere, but then I knew what Brent Blake did. He's an expert in corporate travel. So Rob Mogren, the CFO, says to me, I just asked the question, dude, you guys are traveling all back and forth. You're a German-owned company. Crazy travel. What are you guys doing for travel? We do it all internally. I go, how much you spend on travel a year? And he goes, about $500,000. I literally said, I got a guy. He's a buddy. He wasn't a buddy. You guys hadn't even called me back yet. But I got a guy. He's a buddy that is an expert in this. I wouldn't put him in front of you.
I wouldn't put him because I can't get a hold of him.
Because I can't get a hold of him. But I wouldn't put him in front of you if I thought he was an idiot. He's an owner.
Could,
so he's
going
to talk to you at an owner-to-owner standpoint. Would you take a call from the guy and take a meeting? Rob goes, absolutely. So finally, I called Brent Blake as soon as I got in the car. And I said, dude, this is the final and last time I'm cold calling you. But I just found a $500,000 travel opportunity for you that has pain. If you want an introduction, I can make that happen for you. Let me know. The phone rings within 10 minutes. And Brent just started laughing. He goes, who in the hell are you? And what are you doing? And so it was me just being aware of what other people's needs are, even if this guy didn't need any 401k services, being aware. And then what happened at the end of the day, over about a six-month time frame, Rob Mogren, because I helped him, and Brent Blake, because I helped him, hired me for their 401k services, not just for that reason, but because I had a product and, you know, it was a good service. So, that is where I think about when sales guys.
That's kind of sneaky, though. That's kind of bait and switch.
Why?
I served two people, and then I had the ability to talk shop.
And
that's good, but you know what I don't appreciate is when somebody comes to, and I try very hard for that we don't do this, but. Oh, I just want to do this for you. I just want to do this for you. And then, you know, 3 months later, like, okay, now you have to buy something. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you had people do that? Like, just don't, you should have just told me to begin with that you had something to sell because I don't care. Just tell me.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's I'm okay with that. But they knew why I was there. I was talking to them about 401k. That was already on the table. Now it was just figuring out how
this
to get these guys engaged.
Right.
So they knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, but I agree with you. And I think there's a fear, at least in my sales career, there was a fear of rejection. That doesn't feel good to be told no. You've got to be strong. You obviously don't have that problem. But you also have that fear of, you know, just selling something. For me, it's more natural to build a relationship and serve you first and then ask for permission to talk shop. And either you're going to say yes or no. And once I get the yes, then great. And if I get the no, I'm going to continue to serve you.
You know what I think has a lot to do with
that,
though?
Until you finally are going to say, damn, this guy's good.
If you believe in the product, the product becomes so much part of your relationship building that I think you're not like, hi, I'm here selling a widget. It's like, I'm selling myself. I believe in this thing so much that, you know, let's talk about it. I had a question about sales cycle. everyone's always looking for the silver bullet to shorten the sales cycle. What does that mean? What do you think that means? Is it possible to do that? What does that actually mean?
Well, yes, I think it's very, I think you can shorten the sales cycle. So when I think of sales cycle, I think from the time of contact to the time they close. Mm-hmm. So I've been involved in selling products that have a sales cycle of 2 years to 2 weeks. So I think as you when you understand the sales cycle, it's just like in a manufacturing operation, when the product is not being worked on, it sits around. So if you compress the lead time and you streamline your operation, can you get it to go through faster? And I think there's things that salespeople can do to get a decision to go through faster. And it's part of your ability to understand how the decision-making process works, how the company that you're calling on works, where the decision is at, who needs to deal with the decision, who are we waiting on, do I have contact with that person, have I talked to them? You know, a lot of salespeople will call in the middle of the organization to a director or a plant manager or a VP, and the decision happens at the CEO level, or it happens one step above them. So I'm always advocating to the people I work with and the people that work for me that we have 4 or 5 different relationships in a company. We understand who people report to. We've introduced ourselves to them. We're not just calling on one person. So a lot of times you can compress the sales cycle if you understand the relationships of the organization you're calling into, and you have relationships with people up and down the organization chart.
Well, why is that important?
I think that is a very good point.
But tell me why that's important to have 4 relationships going with the same company at all different levels.
Because buyers don't tell the truth a lot of times.
And a lot of times the people who have the decision-making power, you never know who really has the decision-making power.
People aren't honest about their
own power,
their authority.
Yeah. Either way. Some people who have the authority, that's really not my decision. Some people who don't have the authority, well, that's in my department. You cannot believe them.
If people know that you're talking to more than one person in the organization, they're going to be more forthcoming with you.
Whoa. I like that, but tell me why.
Because buyers like to beat up on salespeople, okay? Buyers like to keep salespeople in check and keep us in control. Now, if the buyer knows that I'm talking to him or her, and I'm also talking to a plant manager or an engineer, then they know that I'm getting different information coming to me about the decision they're contemplating. So then he or she is typically a little more forthcoming.
So, okay, I get
they may actually tell me not to call on that person, but if I've already established a relationship before they get that out of their mouth, mm-hmm. then I'm like, hey, I already know this guy. That's how I came into your organization. He referred me to you, so... anyway, that's kind of it's critically important to have two or three sources.
And where do you draw the line?
That's how you compress the sales cycle as well.
Exactly.
Because the buyer's not done a thing with it and sat on their desk for 3 weeks. But if you know that the plant manager is the one who wants to get the project through, then you call the plant manager. I can tell you numerous times where I've called above or around the buyer, and I put pressure on the buyer and got a decision real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but do you have to be a little careful with the workaround, not to, you know, tee off on the HR?
If you're transparent about it, say, hey, you know, I've also talked to so-and-so, I'm talking to so-and-so, are there other people I should be talking to? Who else should I be talking to?
Totally.
Just
if you're transparent, I always tell people.
You don't owe them anything. You've not signed any kind of NDA or any kind of exclusivity with one of the managers. Like, hey, look, I'm talking to a lot of people.
You take away the buyer's power when you have 2 or 3 sources. And that's a good thing. You put yourself on a level playing field.
Exactly. It's infiltrating the organization.
Exactly.
So if I'm going after a customer, if I'm going after a K plan, there's a CEO, a CFO, a president, and an HR person, probably. Should I be hitting all 4 of them with my marketing, with my calls, and saying, hey, I've tried, I've left a couple messages to the HR gal or the HR guy, and I'm not getting a response, so I thought I'd try you. This is how I got referred in. And he doesn't answer, then I can call the president and say, hey, this is how I got referred in. I'll have messages for the CFO and the HR. I was wondering if somebody could call me. Is that okay?
Well, I don't know if I would tell everyone that I was calling everyone else, but I would just call them direct. So I would have... I'd call 2 or 3 people.
Why can't you call and say that, hey, I was trying to, I got referred in, and I was, because then you're just throwing people under the bus?
No. I mean, I wouldn't leave that on a message. If I talked to some guy, I said, hey, I've been trying to talk to your HR person, and haven't been successful, or I just call and ask them directly. The first contact I have in a company, what I'm trying to do is to gather information about whether they're a good prospect. So what are they using? Who are they using? How long have they used it? Are they happy? Are they satisfied?
It's almost like business intelligence.
Totally business intelligence. So I'm trying to figure out what's the lay of the land in this company that I'm calling on. And then I start figuring out who else is, what role, what position do you have? Who do you report to? So in a 15 or 20 minute live discussion where I'm doing my job and I'm on and the person is sharing information with me and they're enjoying the conversation, I can find out a lot about a company, find out maybe who are two or three other sources that I should be talking to. And then I can come back. And sometimes I sit down with my client and I say, okay, here's the information I heard. Is this a good prospect or not? What is the value of what we have to offer? How do we? What's the best way to go about it? What do we need to do? Who do we need to meet with? So, you got to have two or three sources. It's the quickest way to compress the sales cycle if people in the company know that you're not necessarily taking their unique and singular vision about what the company's doing.
So I've been around Kansas City for a while. I don't know of any other individual that does this. Are you just weird enough to where this is fun for you? Because I think it's a special breed to say, hey, I think it's bold, and I love the fact that you can back it up that says, hey, I can get you into new markets. I can set appointments for you in places you've never gone before, and I can do it in probably the first 4 weeks. Would you take a meeting with me? I mean, who says no to that on a call? I'm sorry. Who says no to that? Somebody does, but I mean, because it sounds like too good to be true, what's this guy doing? But is there competition is where I'm going? Do you have other people doing this?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
There's telemarketers.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Ah, totally. But there are telemarketers who can set up appointments for people. And I think there's some sales trainers, and there are some business consultants and business development people. But I really don't think there's anybody that does what we do and come into a company and we personally take responsibility of growing the organization.
That mm-hmm. is the key statement of what I've heard today. I will personally take responsibility of growing your organization. That is a strong statement.
That is a very strong
and
statement.
And you're held accountable. You charge a fee. I get it. But by gosh, that is just a strong statement, man.
You got to want to grow your company. And the truth of the matter is a lot of people want to grow their company or grow very slowly. There's not a lot of companies that I come across where people want to double in size in 5 years.
Well, sign me up for that. So here's what I think would happen. If I'm a president, because usually the president is the people. He's the guy in charge of the sales guys, right? There's the direct report, typically, I would assume. So you come rolling into my office as a president and say I got a staff of like six sales guys, and I take your meeting, and you come in and you pitch your stuff and you speak to me like that. Where my head goes is, as a matter of fact, hold that thought, because I'm going to tell you where my head goes when we get back from break. We're live with Rink and Laura.
That's a cliffhanger.
Dennis Sweeney, Woo! Business Consulting. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Live with Rink and Laura. We've been talking for the last 48 minutes with awesome Dennis Sweeney from Dennis Sweeney Business Consulting. Pure Rainmaker comes into companies and helps you grow. The thought prior to going to break that I had was, you come rolling in, I'm a president, I got six sales guys. And I know some of them aren't doing what they should be doing. I've got one guy that's awesome, I got another guy that's pretty good, and I got four guys that are status quo. They're doing stuff, but they're not like just killing it in as far as hitting their sales goals. So you come in strong, say you're going to do X, Y, and Z and grow this company and create opportunities and grow my firm. I personally am going to be more attracted to that. Yes, but more attracted to, you're going to come in and shake up my sales guys? Good. They need it because I don't know how to shake them up. Because their status quo, let's go.
Yes.
So you come in, you pop off six, seven, eight appointments that they haven't set, and it's been on their prospect list for years. You come in and roll. Then I'm stuck as the president and head of sales. I'm stuck with decisions to make.
Right.
Which is good, yes. I think. I think that's extremely attractive.
If you're wanting to grow... Yeah, you want decisions.
There becomes the question of, and this is what we were talking about, and I asked the question, who doesn't want to grow their company? And you guys both said, oh my gosh, it's more the norm not to. And tell me why.
Well, it just depends on, at some point, if you are running a multi-million dollar or $20, $30 million company and you are making more money than you ever thought you would, and your organization is stable and your business is growing maybe slightly or staying the same, but you have a lifestyle that you really like. So do you want to double down?
Do you want to double down? Doug Smith from B.E. Smith was one of my favorite quotes of this year, January 7th kickoff show. Doug Smith's a great, it'd be a great referral for you as well, because Doug Smith took over his father's company doing $278,000 in gross revenue. It was corporate healthcare executive recruiting. And doing $278,000 in revenue somewhere around 1995. And from 1995 until just last year, he blew the dang thing up, and he's doing $75 million. And the key to his success was in 2008, he was poised with an opportunity to double down. And he said, Rink, I took a $1 million line of credit at the worst time in the economy, and I poured gas on the fire, and that's the reason why I've blown up and everybody else has stayed status quo.
Right.
That's doubling down.
Absolutely.
And so to your point is, do you want to double down as a company? So let me give you my example. You know, we're a $1.4 million company. We've done that from zero to $1.4 million in 4 years. I want $20 million in revenue. It's designed and built for scale. So that's the kind of company you come into,
I would
assume. But
let's say you were there. Let's say you were at $20 million in revenue, and you're kind of liking your life.
So that's my point is, do you fit better in the $2 million to $4 million jump or the 30 to 60? Where do you fit better, or where do you find is more attractive for your services?
Well, I'm in the process of trying to figure that out, to be upfront with you guys, because what I'm looking for is people who want to double their business, because I think I can bring in some resources and talent that will help you do that. Now, I've worked with a lot of different organizations. I have a lot of really good clients. However, at the end of the day, if you don't want to double in size, then if I go out and break us into 5 or 10 new companies and we start doing business with 3 or 4, but it's going to require you to change your organization. It's going to require you to invest in your plant, maybe hire different people. You got to have the appetite. I mean, I can be as excited as get out for an enthusiastic, but at the end of the day, if you're not willing to put some skin in the game and you're not really want to work that hard, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to rethink your business. It's a lot of work to rethink your offering.
And it's a lot of work to onboard new clients because you don't know them well.
Is that part of your pitch when you're talking to somebody to flush them out?
Well, now it is. It's starting to be. Now
it should be, because then you can jerk people from the herd real quick, because your story's attractive. But at the end of the day, if this isn't what you want because it could create pain for you, because it may change status quo, then this isn't probably a good fit.
Right.
Because I can make it happen. But if you don't want that to happen, then we just need to be friends.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people will pay me, and a lot of people aren't really that honest with themselves about growing. You know, it's a lot easier to say you want to grow than, well, I'm really pretty happy at the way things are.
Yep.
So can I retweet
that's not
this?
That's not a very compelling vision.
No, and hardly anyone's going to say that.
But can you also be a risk management tool to people, meaning a diversification of revenue? And I'll give you a great example. There's an awesome architectural
to their status quo side.
Well, there's an awesome architectural firm in town. They've been on the show, and, you know, they're heavy on a Walmart. Okay? So, you know, say their 75% revenue is coming from Walmart. Well, we know Walmart can flip and get fire in a heartbeat.
Right.
That's risk to me. 25% of the revenue is coming from organic outside of Walmart. And the architectural firm, ideally, they go after multi-location retail, whether it's grocery or whether it's, you know, any kind of retail with multi-location, and they're the architects of choice. Can you go in there and pitch and say, hey, listen, it seems to me you're a little heavy on this side. Let me focus on this side so that we can take that 75-25 Walmart heavy and get it down to about 60-40.
Yes.
To me, that's risk management.
Well, I worked for a company who was a tool builder that did most of their business in consumer packaging, and we got them 3 or 4 new customers in the healthcare, building tools for medical parts, medical supplies. So, yeah, absolutely. That's what they hired me to do. So
I think my pitch, after listening today and knowing you for the last almost a year, I guess, or 6 months, is so when I'm out in the public and I'm talking to other president CEOs, do you have a simple question? Do you have an interest in doubling your company?
Yes.
Okay. If they say yes, really, and really I say, if that is possible, if I can make that possible for you.
Yep, that's a good
question. And it causes, but it may cause you change or investment in human capital or to not have status quo.
No pain, no gain.
Would you want to have that conversation? The people that say yes, then I simply say, you got to talk to my guy. Because this is what he does. If you don't want that to happen, then let's move on to another conversation.
The hard part about that.
No, you're totally right.
Isn't that dead on?
Totally.
Sometimes they won't tell you that. I mean, they won't say, people lie. I mean, they don't want to look bad. So, of course, they're going to say, we're going to blow and go, and we're going to make this company. And you know what? I'd say 60% of those people are scared to death of what they just said.
You're just saying, they're just saying, absolutely, we want to double.
Yeah.
But not really.
Right, but not really. So the question is, will they tell you, a confidential, person first before
well,
they have to admit
I think
admit
I've
to.
Got an ability to flush that out. I mean, I know who I'm talking to,
right,
and if
exactly.
they don't want to do it, then just tell me.
That's a better filter for his, if he goes and asks.
So that's what my point is. My referrals to Dennis then are already pre-qualified based on my knowledge
right,
and based on my, through my filter. And, it's a decent filter, but it's not perfect. You've got to get to the nuts on it, but then here you go. Here's an opportunity. Somebody wants to work hard.
I take that call every day of the week.
And then the fun thing is, because I'd go on this opening introduction just because I think it'd be a blast to watch Sweeney. But to watch the person's response when Dennis goes, I can get you into new markets within the first 4 weeks that you currently aren't doing
that's
today. And I can back that up and be personally accountable for everything. I just want to see somebody's reaction. And then you're going to give that little
what's
wicked...
What's a great question for people like that, if you can't tell whether they really want to do it, is when was the last time you made a big decision like this? What's your process for deciding whether to double a company? What was the biggest growth target you've ever hit? If the biggest growth target they've ever hit is 3 years ago we wanted to grow by 5%, they're not going to want to double their company. They don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
But a lot of the opportunities that I bring in the door, one of the companies I work with right now, we have brought in the door companies that buy 20 times what their gross sales are. We brought in the door 20 times their gross sales. We're only doing a small percentage of the business.
But the potential.
The potential is there. Now, how hard do you want to work? Because the opportunity is there. If you delight the customer, if you are perfect, those opportunities will grow organically. And that's really how most salespeople make their living is they come in and they grow something organically.
Right.
They don't go out and get new business. And that's why we're a unique business, and that's why you want to work with us.
Interesting. Yeah, so really, you don't really have a product or a solution for the status quo people. I mean, some companies really can sell things that just keep the status quo. That is a fairly popular product.
Diversification is
One
people
example.
Have been hired me to do some diversification.
They don't lose what they've got.
But people again, you got to have a mentality about understanding the organization. There's a ton of variables when you build a business that I find very intriguing and interesting. There's a ton of moving parts, so if you want to work really hard and figure those things out, there are so many opportunities out there in the world, out here in the U.S., here in the Midwest. All you got to do is be committed, though, and you want to and be interested in figuring them out because you can figure them out. It's not rocket science. And it all starts with having a good conversation with people.
And you can, you can probably tell a lot whether they're growth oriented or not in that first conversation.
Very quickly.
How hungry are they?
So how do people find you? You got a website?
Dennis, www.dennissweeney.com. Or give me a call on my cell phone, 816-820-6999.
Say that number again.
816-820-6999.
So bottom line is, and this is, if you're anybody out there that wants to grow an organization, and not just grow it, but double it, or better, then if you can't figure out how to do that, then you need to hire Dennis Sweeney, because Dennis Sweeney can not only teach you how to do it, but he takes
take
on the project
on
and will flat out be accountable for,
I'll be your partner.
I'll be your partner.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just go around and offer equity and just work for free and just get a bunch of...
Hey, I'm open.
I totally agree with it. I think that's almost a no-brainer. Go in and just say, hey, just for a small piece of equity, if I double everything, I want this. Who doesn't say no? I would say yes to that. I would absolutely say
that's
yes to
you,
that.
That's you, but people are funny.
Awesome. You're welcome back at our campfire anytime. I'm going to set a personal goal here on the radio to get Dennis introduced to three companies that are pre-qualified through my filter by the next 90 days.
Beautiful.
That can't be a bad thing.